Amen. Oh, he's sitting over there in the chair. Dude. I want to talk about something today that some might think is a thing of the past. Some might think that it could be a thing of the future. Or my question to all of us today is, could it be a thing for the present? We live in a mindset, a society of today, that as we sang before, it's a broken generation. We live in a society today of divisiveness. I watched TV the other day where you have two presidents, and I finally shut them both off because there was nothing in the midst of that that wasn't divisive. Well, we live in a mindset today, one, that we talk about postmodern. And postmodern means that there are no absolutes in this house. It means that there is no black, there is no white, that everything could be gray. We open up the book to go, well, it could be true, it could not be true, or I can accept it, or I don't have to accept it. We live in a society today that has to be politically correct, which means I'm more concerned what you think than what God thinks. Amen. We also live in a society today that has to be culturally relevant. You know, if it doesn't meet the culture of today, is it really relevant? And then in all honesty, we live in a society that's opinionated. And all of the opinions are based upon a person's emotions. Or candidly, they're based upon someone's personal agenda. Also, we live in a society today that is analytical. It's based upon, you know, scientific findings. And then honestly, the last one is negativity. I have never seen the negativity in the world as I have today. No one speaks positive about anything or anybody. Now, in the book of Romans, it says, for whatsoever things were written, and this is King James, but it says, aforetime, it was written for our learning, so that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, that you and I might find hope. Now, the key here is the comfort of the Scriptures. God has given us the Scriptures. You know, Jeremiah 29:11, God says, I know the plan. It's not for destruction. The plan is for future, and it's for hope. The Scripture is given so that you and I would have comfort. And honestly, that we might have hope. I did a funeral service yesterday, and it has not happened a whole lot, but after the services, I was walking down the aisle, walking out, and this guy, he's pretty rough, you could tell. He said, were you the guy that just did the service? And I'm thinking, well, if you were in the room, you'd have known, you know? But he says, I need to talk to you. I said, okay. So we're sitting in the back of the aisle talking, and he's talking about how he was an alcoholic, hadn't drank in months and months, and, you know, he's just talking about how his life has fallen apart, how he's going to go through a divorce and all this kind of stuff. And I said, I'm so sorry. And he says, I just don't know if my prayers are answered or not. And I said, well, my first question is, have you ever prayed to receive Christ? Well, bottom line, in the back of this sanctuary, you know, we just did the service. No one's left yet. This guy prays to receive Christ in the back row of the church. I mean, give God the glory on that one. Now, the thing that was so cool about it, you know, I said, listen, if you need help, call me. And he says, I will. And he says, maybe it's too late for my divorce. I said, it's never too late when God's in the picture. But I want us to understand today that God has given us his word. And he didn't give us the word just to chastise us. God gave us the word for patience, comfort, and hope. And those are things that all of us need in our life. Today, we're going to begin a study on a topic that I promise you has absolutes. I promise you that it's not going to be politically correct. It's not going to be culturally relevant. It cannot be explained by some scientific algorithm. And you don't believe, then candidly, don't use it. That's your choice. And what we're going to talk about today is the study of anointing and the oil that we use. In my last church as an associate there, two times we anointed people with oil. One time was behind closed doors because it was like, oop, you know, we don't really want people to see what we're doing. The other time, we went to a guy's house, and he had, I think it was called fibromyalgia, and he was in a lot of pain. And I remember the guy asked me if I would go with him, and I said, sure. We anointed the guy with oil. We prayed. We left. I said, why did we do it? He said, the Bible says so. And I went, okay. But the older that I've got in ministry and the older that I've gotten aged, the Bible says so, Charlie's not good enough for me. I mean, it's not. I want to know more about why we do what we do. Now, in all honesty, there's a golden thread that runs from the Old Testament to the New Testament. That thread is not broken. And there's a reason that that thread is there. And I want us to understand that the Old Testament is just as important as the New Testament. And the New Testament is just as important as the Old Testament. And the Bible passage that we just read said that the old stuff was written so that you and I could learn. And it shows us and it points us to people and things who are struggling just like you and me. Now, the word anointing, and Connie, I laughed when I looked at this, but the word anointing is written 150 times in Scripture. Either it's the word anointed, anointing, or anoint. Now, the word comes from a Latin word, anuntus, but it means smear with oil. Now, I don't know if you've ever been around Connie when Connie anoints you with oil. She ain't putting a drop on you, baby. She's going to smear you with oil, man. Amen. But it's good. And I thought, you know, how awesome it is that we do these things. Now, what I want you to understand is that in this bottle is oil, okay? There are no magical properties to this oil. It's not supernatural. It's not magical. This oil cannot heal. This oil cannot deliver. This oil cannot change. It's oil. What it is. And the only way that any of this will ever work, and the only way if you'll ever experience the power of what this represents, is when you understand the message behind the oil. And if someone comes to you and you ask a question in Scripture and they say, well, the Bible says so, never accept that. I'm not saying that the Bible doesn't say it, but dig deep because you want to know the message behind what we do. Well, why do we want to use the oil? If there's no magic, if there's no supernaturalness to it, why do we want to use oil? Now, I grew up with a grandmother that went to the Catholic Church. Well, back in the 1960s, when you went to the church, it was in Latin. You know, the priest would do this, you stood up. Priest did this, you sat down. That was kind of universal language. Everybody knew what to do on this. But you would leave the service, and it was like, well, how was the service? I don't know. I didn't understand one word that this guy said. Well, it's the same thing with the oil as with the sermon. We experience the anointing power when you only understand the message behind the oil. Because if you don't, you won't. Now, in the book of Genesis, and you have to read the whole thing to get it, and I'll kind of surmise this, But we know that Jacob stole Esau's blessings. We know that. And I told Pam the other day, I said, I really get stuck right here to go, how can God bless someone who just stole something from someone else? And you know, there's not a reason behind it. God is God. But I really think when you read the whole thing, you know, Esau sold his birthrights for a bowl of stew. And I think God looked at him to go, I know the dependability. I know the kind of guy you are. And I want somebody that's going to be strong. Well, the great thing about it is, it says, so Jacob rose early. You know, Esau sold his birthrights for a bowl of stew, and then Jacob went and literally deceived his father and got the blessings that Esau was supposed to have. Well, we know from Scripture now that Jacob is to go into the wilderness. He's banished, okay? And it says, so Jacob rose early in the morning. He took the stone that he had put under his head. And I got to tell you, you know, it's pretty rough when you don't have a pillow and all you got is a stone to put your head on. So he said he put the stone under his head. He set it up after all the dream that he had. But he set it up as a pillar. He poured oil on top of it, and he called the name of the place Bethel. Okay? Bethel means the house of God. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me on this journey that I take, and will give me food to eat, garments to wear, and I return. Boy, there's a lot of ifs on this thing, okay? I mean, he's laying it out, you know. And then he says, and I will return to my father's house in safety. If that happens, then the Lord will be my God. This stone which I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And then all of that you give me, he says, I will give you a tenth. So what I want us to understand in regards to the first message about anointing is this. We know that Esau sold his birthrights to Jacob. We know that Jacob takes Esau's blessings. Esau hated Jacob, wanted him killed. And then Esau was so disobedient because his daddy said, don't marry outside, and he went in and he married a Canaanite woman, which was absolutely what his dad asked him not to do. Well, Jacob is banished. Jacob is worried. He's fearful. Lies his head on a stone, falls asleep, has a dream. He anoints that same stone with oil. He names the place Bethel, which means the house of God. But here's what I want you to understand is that when someone would be anointed with oil and you're living one of those stony, worried, banished kind of lives, I want this to remind you that God will meet you at your place of need. And the greatest thing of all is that we are the house of God. So, you know, a lot of people go, well, God just, no, look at Jacob. I mean, Jacob is a mess up. But God met him right where he needed him. And he anointed that place, and he said, it's the house of God. And I want you to understand how important you are today, is that you too are the house of God. In the book of Exodus, it says, you shall make of these a holy anointing oil, a mixture or a perfume mixture, the work of a perfumer. It shall be holy, a holy anointing oil, which it shall anoint the things of God. It says, it shall not be poured on anyone's body, nor shall you make any like it in the same proportions. It's holy. It shall be holy to you. Whoever shall mix any like it, or whoever puts any of it on a layman, shall be cut off from the people. Well, in that scripture, God laid out a specific mixture that he wanted, that the priest would be anointed, the tabernacle would be anointed, the things in the tabernacle would be anointed. And he said, don't make that mixture. So when you read scripture, don't go make that mixture, okay? But we have anointing oil. And what I want us to understand is the second thing about the oil. What we do is a sacred act. When someone comes up here and we anoint them with oil, again, it's not magical, it's not supernatural, but what it is, it's a holy act. It's something that you and I should take serious because it represents the actual act of God, and it represents the power of God, and it represents what God wants to do through the people. You know, I think a lot of this is misused. But what I want you to understand is that when we call our church forward, and you would be the recipient, and you would be the people in the crowd that would look on, I want you to understand that what we are doing is sacred. It's not to be taken lightly. In 1 Samuel 16 and 13, then Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brothers. This is about King David. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Now, here's the third thing that I want us to look at. The anointing oil reflects the Spirit of the Lord. The need in our lives are met by the Lord. You know, you can come to me. The guy yesterday came and said, oh, I need help. I mean, it's like Peter and John at the Gate Beautiful. I got nothing to offer you except the Word of God. I told Kent this morning, you know, when we come down and pray, what people need to hear is not your personal opinions. People don't need to hear a dissertation about all. What the people need to hear is the Word of God. Because the only thing that will change their life is the Word of God. The Bible says that the Word was designed for a reason. God said that the Word will not come back void. You know, don't give me out what you think. Don't give me the Word of God. If I come down and I need money, I can't pay my bills, what you need to tell me is that God said, I'll meet every need that you have in your life. See, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world, it's the Spirit that works the miraculous through you and me. So what's important in the midst of this is, like, if we would send someone out to go be a missionary, if we would send someone out to do anything, if we anointed them with oil, I mean, it's a reflection to go, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. You are the house of Almighty God, and it's the Spirit that goes with you. Isaiah 10 and 27 says this, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed for one reason, because of the anointing oil that was placed upon him. Well, here's the other thing that we need to learn. Deliverance from bondage, freedom from oppression, because of the power of the Lord. There is not a person in this room that is not being oppressed right now. Amen. Now, you don't have to stay oppressed, and you can get ignorant and put, you know, Satan in his place And we talked last week that the only thing that Satan can get from you and me is that which we give him, because we are a child of the Most High God. But you and I have got to get to the place to go, back off, Satan. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And then you and I need to start operating and walking and talking as if we're the house of God, because you are. Second Chronicles, then the men who were designated by name, they arose, took the captives, they clothed all of their naked ones from the spoil, and they gave them clothes and sandals, they fed them, they gave them drink, and they anointed them with oil. And it says, led all of their feeble ones on donkeys, brought them to Jericho, the city of palm trees, to the brothers. Then they returned to Samaria. The other point about the oil is this. When one is anointed, it is through the power of God that one is refreshed. You know, if you are sick, if you are troubled, if you have been oppressed, and you go, I want to be anointed, then you need to stand here understanding that it is the anointing and the message behind the anointing that will refresh you, because it is completed through the power of God that restoration is made. And the Bible says that God will do more for you and me than we could ever ask or think. The problem with the Christian life today is that we are trying to handle the stress by ourselves. And God says, apart from me, you can do absolutely nothing. But I also want to tell you is that God meets a man right where he's at. You might be laying in the wilderness with your head on a pillow. You might be oppressed. You might have a need. I don't know what it is, but I know that God's there, because God said, I'll never leave you, and he says, I'll never forsake you. Now, I love this one. Psalms 23, we've all been there. It says, you prepare a table before me. I love it. In the presence of our enemies. Amen. Now, think about it. Think about going through what you're going through today. Think about the oppression, our depression, our despair, or whatever you're going through. Well, we know anything that's contrary to the Word of God comes from the evil one. So the look that you guys are, the picture that you have to have is almost as if you go to the swankiest restaurant in town. The waiter comes over and he pulls the chair out. You sit down. He lays the napkin out. What would you like to drink? Okay, and he comes back. What would you like to eat? Comes back. And there's this bountiful feast right here that you're going to pay about $200 for, okay? But the Bible says, in the presence of our enemies, of every principality, every demon, everything that is satanic, everything that's out here, in the presence of our enemies, he anoints our head with oil. Now, I'm telling you, he just doesn't anoint it with a little oil. He anoints you, he smears you, he drowns you, because the Bible says, my cup overflows. Amen. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. It's all right. See, we have a God that is not a God of just enough. We have a God that is God of more than enough. Amen. You know, I went to someone's house not too long ago, and they gave me some supper, and it was like they gave me a little piece of meat, like one carrot. Well, Lori, when she graduated, we went to the Brownstone. Well, we go over there, and it's a beautiful place. They were playing the harp, you know, and it was just fun with my daughter. Pam was out of town. I was like, oh, this is great. What do you want, honey? Well, steak and, you know, some potatoes and green beans, you know. So they bring us our plates. Man, I'm hungry. I'm ready. They bring a piece of steak about that big. The word dollop was a reality in this place because they gave us a dollop of potatoes. And I think you got two green beans, you know. They were big ones, though, you know. We ate. We had a wonderful time, you know. And on the way home, I said, honey, are you hungry? She went, yes. I said, let's stop at McDonald's and get a hamburger, okay? Here's the thing about it. God doesn't treat us that way. God gives us everything that you need. But you know, the greatest thing, the picture around, he does it in front of our enemy. Yeah. You know, Lori got just bullied at school years ago. And she would come home and she'd cry. And I was riding a motorcycle for the police department, so I went, okay, I can handle this. So I came up, had my boots on, had my motorcycle, had my gun, I had all that on. I got Lori, we're walking down the hall at school, and she says, Daddy, that's the little boy right there. And we stopped, and I went, is that the boy right there that's messing with you, honey? That little boy's eyes got about that big. I said, well, what? How are you doing at school? She said, he won't even talk to me anymore. Well, see, that's the greatest thing that you and I've got. We've got a God that in the place of our enemy, that God sits there and goes, I'm going to scare him because I am bigger than him. I am greater than he is. And when Satan looks at me, he goes, ooh, he belongs to God. You better back off because his daddy's big. And what I love, again, is that he's doing it right in the face. We want to hide. He said, let's put this right in the face of Satan. Yeah. I'm going to put it, I'm going to tell you, you ain't touching my child. When we anoint, we have to remember that God is the God of all gods, that he is the King of all kings, that he is the absolute Lord of all lords, that he is greater than anything that Satan wants to put our way. And in the presence of that enemy, our God stands right there with us, and he said, Satan, back off, because Corey belongs to me. Amen. 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 Psalms 105. He permitted no man to oppress them. He reproved kings for their sakes. And I love this. He says, do not touch. Do not touch my anointed ones. And do my prophets no harm. Now, church boy, if you can't take that home and eat some of that up, I don't think you're ever going to understand. See, when we anoint, we are to remember that God will let no man be oppressed. That no one's going to touch, no one's going to harm us. We have a mighty, mighty God that you and I serve. Amen. Now some will say, well, that's great, Pastor, but these are all Old Testament passages. And I'm going to go, you are 100% correct. I know that some will go, but you know, you got to rightly divide the word, and I am 100% correct with that. We have to divide the word. You got to do it correctly. Some will say, but that's not culturally relevant. That's Old Testament. Others will ask, you know, are we interpreting the word correctly? Well, answer it for yourself. Here's the real question. Does this anointing process that you and I have today, does it apply to the New Testament Christian? Is this something that's old that Jacob and Samuel and David and those guys did? Or is it something that's valuable to us today? Here's what 1 Corinthians says. Now, these things happened to them as an example, as they were written for our instructions, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. If you read the book, we wrapping up. 1,000 days, 1,000 years, don't care. All I know, I'm going to be busy when the Lord comes back. And I'm going to be working. But every time anointing oil was used in the Old Testament, it pointed forward to the New Testament. And it was a time when Jesus would open the door for the Holy Spirit to come upon every believer and pour out the Spirit upon you and me, all who believe. It was God talking, don't worry about it. I did a funeral service not too long ago, and somebody's phone went off, and I said, unless it's God, do not answer it. Now, church, here's what I want you to begin to think about. Every drop of oil that this church would administer by believers today speaks of Jesus. The oil shows that Jesus is with us. The oil shows us that you and I are little Bethels, that you and I are houses of God, and that we're mobile houses. See, God did not create you as a little house to sit in this church. Now, God wants you here because the Bible says don't forsake the fellowship. There's a reason we're here, so that God can talk to us and we can worship him. Psalm says, let everybody that has breath praise the Lord. There's a time we get together, we praise the Lord. But we have to understand that we are a mobile house. Yeah. We go into the world. There are places that Martha will go that I will not go. There are places that Oscar's going to go that Martha's not going to go. There's places that Leon's going to go that we're not going to go. We all go different places, and we are mobile. And what God wants people to see is that we are the little house. And I want you to understand that you belong to God. You do not belong to Satan. Okay? And people will go, but no, here's the deal. If you belong to God, Satan cannot get you. He cannot do it. Now, we kind of relinquish and go backwards sometimes. We give our blessings away. But you and I, when we get weak, we need to call one another to go get the oil. Get it out here because I'm under attack. And he ain't getting nothing. It's not going to happen. But we need to understand that we belong to God, and like the Old Testament priest and the tabernacle, everybody here has been set apart for one reason, for the glory of God. We have been given church divine authority. God hasn't just saved us and go, okay, going out. God has given you and me, church, every tool that we need. Anything that you need to go into the world tomorrow morning, God has given you because he has given you authority and the power to reign, not as a second-class citizen, but as a king. We have been freed from the devil's oppression and honored with every spiritual blessing that you could think about. And we are no longer slaves, but we are conquerors through Christ. Now, here's where I want you to really grab hold and look at this. When biblical fragrances were added, in Scripture, you can read about them, but when they're added in our lives, I want you to understand that each scent symbolizes an aspect of Christ. Frankincense, from the very beginning, he was brought to this earth to be an intercessor for you and me. We have a mediator that sits next to God, and he intercedes on our behalf. The myrrh, it meant purification and preparation. Pomegranate, his fruitfulness, abundance, his blessings, his favor. The lily of the valley was his purity of heart. But here's where God just touched my heart when I read this. In 2 Corinthians, it says, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of his knowledge of him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved, and honestly, among those who are perishing. And then Revelation says, when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and a golden bowl of incense, which are the prayers of his saints. Almighty God, when we pray, breathes in the fragrance of our prayers of his anointed people. How awesome is that picture? That man yesterday says, I pray, but yet God doesn't hear. That is so wrong. If you're a child of God, God goes, that's from my anointed one. How awesome, church. James says, if anyone among you is sick, then he must call for the elders of the church. They are to pray over him. They are to anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. Church, each time we anoint a person with oil, here's what we're doing. And I want you to see it from this day forward. That we are literally declaring the burden removing, the yoke destroying power of Jesus Christ, the anointed one, being released into the body of that person that is being anointed. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, was brought here to anoint, to heal, to deliver, to honor, and to set apart, protect, and to be a victor to us. And that is present. And, you know, we think about it, but all of that is present in this little bottle of oil. But it's the liberating message of Jesus Christ our Lord. Church, when we sit down from this day forward and someone says, would you please anoint me with oil? I want you to understand what they get. They get the house of God. They get the divine power of our Lord. They get everything that they need to be liberated, because the Bible says, if you know the truth, it is the truth that will set you free. Give God a hand clap of praise.